Chuck, I'm first. So we've reviewed tithe, and we've reviewed one of our offerings. One of the offerings is for church budget. The other offering is for the enhancement loan. So these two combined actually are the ways that we use to support our church, and we're going to review today what we have done over the last few years in the enhancement program. You also heard that the offering that the children gather up every Sabbath has gone toward the enhancement program. And over the last 2 years, and just think about the last 6 years, that offering and how much it would be for the last 2 years has been at least $15,000. So the very first project was our bathrooms. And you can ask our deacons. In the fall of 2000, we invited them to not only do the work, but to put in the money for the bathrooms. That shocked a lot of people, but that's what happened. And we raised $12,500 from the deacons to do the bathroom project. And not too many churches that I know of have gold frame mirrors in their women's bathrooms. But so every time you go to another church and visit, the people from our church actually go look at the bathrooms to see how they are. I've been told this many, many times. Now, down below is our second project. We were doing the bathrooms in the fall of 2000, and it took us to the fall of 2001 to actually raise the money for our roof. And notice on the left picture, that's a corner of the fellowship hall. And that corner was the worst part of our roof. We had to tear it all off of there and replace it and restucco it, the whole thing. I don't know why that was the worst, but it was. So we did the whole roof. We tented the whole church during that process, being for termites. And that's the one. It took us till the fall of 2001. And then we came to the painting project, and none of us realized what it would mean to paint every room, every closet, every space in the entire facility to be painted. You had to move everything. It was unbelievable. So then we came to the carpet, and the fellowship hall is just showing the carpet. It was the worst place that we had problems with, but it turned out good. It saved us about $9,000 when we got done on our carpet. Along the way, we also did some additional projects. These are two of them. You can recognize the youth chapel cabinets, and we put some decorative foliage in the breezeway. Then came the offices, the associate pastor's office, and the main office we completely redid. And the bottom two pictures you're familiar with, it's supposed to be the foyer. I don't know if maybe we ought to turn this front light off. Can we do that? Keep going. Thank you. And then we did, along the way, these projects were not actually in our enhancement program, but the music committee spearheaded raising the funds for our organ, and you see the amount. And along the way, we put murals in our Sabbath school rooms, all of them. We also began to buy video equipment. And then we added, in the fellowship hall, we added tables and chairs. So here they are. The bathrooms, the roof, the paint, the carpet, and so on. And you see the total, $428,000. In the first 5 years of our refurbishing program, we raised that much cash to do all the projects that I have pictured for you.
We come to a transition. We had a lot of things still to do. We'd done a lot, and we'd been working on it for years, and we came to a transition. We had to do the air conditioning, the heat pumps, the air conditioners. and that was $139,000. We had been having problems with those for years, and we were spending a fair amount on repairs. They needed to be replaced. We also were going to do the shades, the new shades all through the plant. The big project, though, was the parking lot. Parking lots are not very exciting as a project to give money to. But one of the things about a blacktop parking lot, the longer you ignore it, the more it's going to cost you. It's going to be more deteriorated. The process of replacing it is worse. Plus, it becomes a safety hazard. As the blacktop starts to break up, people can trip on it just walking in. We also had more to do with our AV system, more funding to do for that. Here's a project that still remains. We did not spend $15,000 on that little sign out front. We were planning on getting a new sign, and we put some money aside for that, but it's all part of the second phase that we've done. The second phase we did through a loan, and this is where some church members kind of parted company with what we were doing. They felt like, you know, we did a pay-as-you-go system for everything else. Why are we doing a loan now? Well, there's a pretty simple answer to that. We didn't have $500,000. And if we waited to do these big projects, you know, we would be in worse shape. And we might end up spending in the meantime on repairs, et cetera. And so the decision was made by the board that we better give everybody a break from this constant year after year fundraising. We better get a loan and just start servicing the loan and get these big projects done, which is exactly what we did. Here's what we did. We took out a loan for $550,000, was it? And we spent it as shown there. Now, for the last 2 years, we've been paying on the loan. You can go back to the first slide, the slide of the church, guys. We've been paying on the loan, and it hasn't been very exciting. The loan payment is actually not that much for this church, but it hasn't caught people's attention. They haven't really seen it as an attractive place to make contributions. And as a result, I've noticed over a period of time that we've pretty well wiped out all of our reserves because the contributions each month to the loan haven't even met the payment for that month. So we had a committee that was put together. Stan and I and many others are on that committee, and we addressed this. We thought that we need to take a look at this problem, but at a larger from a larger perspective. That's why we've approached this from a spiritual perspective. Giving is a very important part of spiritual life. We've also approached it from an educational perspective. If we simply tell the people the information they need, they're going to make informed, good decisions. But we want to illustrate something to you today. That's why Stan has the bat. Now, the bat is not part of the system of filling out the pledge cards. The bat is simply to make a point. Stan, turn the other way so they can see the profile. Now, don't swing left-handed. Imagine that the pitcher's coming from over there. Okay? Now, I want you to back up a little bit this way towards me, and I want you to take a real swing, but not in full speed, just take a half-speed swing. All the way, go ahead and follow through. I want you to imagine, this is baseball season. You know, baseball season starts next Sunday, so not tomorrow, but, you know, so we're going to try to be very contemporary here. I want you to imagine Stan is playing in the major leagues. I know that's hard to imagine, but it's just imagine that he is. And he wants to help his team. He wants to get a hit. He wants to hit the ball right here. Put the bat right in the middle. He wants to hit the ball right there. And he has about an eighth of an inch variance. If his bat's about an eighth of an inch low, he's going to pop it up. If his bat's about an eighth of an inch high, he's going to hit a ground ball. If it's further off than that, he's going to miss entirely. Now that ball is getting to him pretty quickly. The pitcher is a major league pitcher, and the velocity on a typical major league fastball is 90 miles an hour, and it's only 60 feet away. The ball will reach from the pitcher's hand to the strike zone in 0.4 seconds. 0.4 seconds. I want everyone in the congregation to blink. Go ahead, blink. That blink took you 150 milliseconds. The ball will arrive in 400 milliseconds. What does Stan need from his body in order to hit the ball well? Well, he obviously needs eyes. Someone's telling jokes over here. I don't know what they are. He obviously needs to use his eyes. He has to watch that pitcher very carefully. He has to see the ball leave the pitcher's hand, and he has to make a decision very quickly about whether or not he can hit the ball, whether it's going to be a strike. He has 150 milliseconds to make that decision. That's your blink of an eye. Literally, not figuratively. Within the time it takes to blink, Stan has to read the pitch and decide whether or not to swing. And then he has a few more, about 100 more milliseconds in which he can actually, as he's swinging, decide to stop or decide to adjust his swing or go through with the swing. That's how long he has to make his decision. So he has to have his eyes, he has to have his brain. His brain is actually projecting the trajectory of the ball. But what else does he need? Well, he's got both hands on the bat. He's got a good solid grip. He's got both feet firmly planted. Now take your stride as you hit, Stan, show how you move. He's going to be striding, so he'll be moving his feet. As he strides, he pushes off of this foot and lands on that foot. If he wants to hit a home run, which of course he does, he needs his wrist to break the bat to create a whipping action, and his forearms. He needs his shoulders and arms to give strength to the swing. He needs his torso, his back, his hips, and his thighs to create the power of the swing. He needs to swivel his hips as he's transferring his weight from his back foot to his first foot. And he's going to do all of this in about 150 milliseconds, and he's going to do it all without thinking consciously. It will all be done by his subconscious. Now suppose Stan's, just before the pitcher lets go, a gnat flies into his eye. What do you think his chances are of hitting the pitch? Not very good, right? Suppose Stan has a sore big toe, and he can't land right. When he strides, he can't land right. He lands kind of tentatively. He's not going to be able to hit very hard. Suppose Stan got a blister on his finger, and he can't hold the bat. Suppose Stan has a backache because he slept wrong last night. Suppose he has some tendonitis in his shoulder. Suppose his knee's bothering him. Stan needs his entire body in order to be hitting correctly. He needs his fingers, he needs his toes, he needs his brain, he needs his eyes, he needs his entire body. Stan, what's the point?
Another problem is my trifocals. 1 Corinthians 12, here's your point. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. He goes on to talk about, well, what if the foot says, hey, I'm not an eye, so I don't want to participate, I can't do my job. Or if the ear says, I don't want to participate because I'm not an eye. And then he says that there may be no discord in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And then he says, you, Chuck, all of us are the body of Christ.
You are the body of Christ. We are all the body of Christ. Just like Stan needs every part of his body to hit effectively, we need to work together on the projects of the church, even the ones that we aren't all that enthusiastic about, or maybe we don't like the way it was processed, or we're unhappy about a loan. If you don't like the loan, here's your chance. When we met with the committee, we talked about a lot of things, and one of the things we talked about was setting goals for this project to get the loan removed. And Stan and I got in an argument. Well, it wasn't an argument, it was a spirited discussion. And the other committee members kind of sit there with their mouths open and said, look at those guys. But when we got all done, they said, you need to do that same thing to the church. You need to do that in front of the church. They need to hear the same thing. So Stan, tell them what your idea was.
Well, we've been doing this for the last 5 years or so, and my thought was, well, let's just pay off the loan during the next 4 years, and once a year, we'll come to you and say, all right, it's time to raise our next portion of the payoff. So every year for 4 years, we raise $100,000 and pay off our loan. And we would talk to you about it every single year for 4 years. And, you know, let's keep it on a limited basis. We just talk about it, not all every Sabbath for 4 years, but once a year, we just do that.
You know, Stan's got reason on his side. There's a whole history, and that fits very well with the track record that we did when we were paying as you go. So his plan is a realistic plan based on facts. I disagreed with it. I think that there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm not opposed to being reasonable. But sometimes God's not reasonable. And sometimes he leads us to not be too reasonable. I said, let's pay it off by December 31 this year. That's what Stan said, yes. What? $450,000. Can we do it? Yeah, we can. Would it be easy? No. Is it realistic? Not very. But what are we to lose? You all get to make the decision with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why start off and limit our plan? Why come with a plan